Let me introduce our guest speaker today. Our guest speaker is Reverend Anthony Law. Reverend Law currently serves as the Regional Director of Connection East Asia for the Diaspora Missions of OMF, Overseas Missionary Fellowship, Canada. His passion is to empower the local churches to participate in the local missions. Reverend Law introduces himself as a servant of God called to save, S-A-V-E, a calling that stands for strategist, advocate, visionary, and educator. We're honored to have him today with us. Before we invite Reverend Law to share his message, would you please stand for the reading of today's scripture? Today's scripture is from Exodus and Numbers. Exodus chapter 4, 2 to 5. Then the Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" "A staff," he replied. The Lord said, "Throw it on the ground." Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail." So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. "This," said the Lord, "is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you." Numbers chapter 21 to 13. In the first month of the whole Israelite community arrived at the deserts of Zin, and they stayed at Kadesh. The Marian died and was buried. Now there was no water for the community, and the people gathered in opposition to Aaron and Moses. They quarreled with Moses and said, "If only we have died with our brothers, fell dead before the Lord, why did you bring the Lord's community into this wilderness? That we and our livestock should die here? Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to this terrible place? It has no grain, no figs, grapevines, or pomegranates, and there is no water to drink." Moses and Aaron went from the assembly to the entrance to the tent of meeting and fell face down, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. The Lord said to Moses, "Take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron gather assembly together. Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of this rock for the community, so they there and their livestock can drink." So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, "Listen, you rebels, must we bring your water out of this rock?" Then Moses raised his arms and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out, and the community and the livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them." There were waters of Meribah, where the Israelites quarreled with the Lord and where he was proven holy among them. This is the word of the Lord. And we invite Pastor Reverend Law to come up. Peace be.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. What's that in my hand? Staff, stick, what else? What's that in my hand? A staff, a rod. And actually this thing has a name. It's called Lois Rod. So who is Lois? Lois is my oldest daughter, and she picked this from my backyard. Yeah. When she's very, very young. Now she's 21, so this I keep it for many, many, many years. In the Bible, there's a person who has hold a similar rod. Who is he? From today's passage, you know, he is Moses. Of course, his rod is not like Lois' rod, but it's Moses' rod. Not Lois' rod, but Moses' rod. In the first 40 years of Moses' life, he had the rod of authority because he's the prince of Egypt. And raised up in the royal palace, received the royalty and also high education, lived in luxurious life. His 80 years after his royal living, he held a shepherd's rod. He fled to Midian as a shepherd for 40 years. When he reached age 80, God appeared to him and called him to lead Israelites out of Egypt. And God asked a specific question about Moses' rod. In today's passage, Exodus chapter 4, verse 2, God asked him, "What is that in your hand? What's that in your hand?" Moses responded, "It's a rod." At that time, Moses already has 80 years of experience in holding a rod, 40 years holding an authority's rod, and 40 years holding a shepherd's rod. Rod this time, do I need to control PowerPoint? Okay. Okay. So rod, this term in Hebrew is matah. It's actually very literally a rod, a staff, or a branch like this, or a tribe. The rod that Moses held in his first 40 years should not be like the lowest rod. It should be delicately designed using precious jewels and a lot of precious things. But during the 40 years in the wilderness, Moses' rod should be like the lowest rod. It's just like this, which is just a shepherd's rod, taking from a piece of dry up tree in the wilderness. During the 80 years of Moses' life, whether it was the authority's rod or the shepherd's rod, that represented three very vital areas of his life. First of all, it represents Moses' identity. Who am I? When he's holding the authority rod, he's the prince of Egypt. He's the royalty. He's the nobility. But when he's holding the shepherd's rod, he retains some identities. Moses is a shepherd. When he's holding a shepherd's rod, the rod represents his work, his career, his personal identity. And secondly, the rod represents his income and also his wealth, his possession, what he had. What do I have? The authority rod, of course, represents that he's a lot of wealth, earthly belongings, servants, slaves, money, etc. But when he's holding the shepherd's rod, it still remains some possession. His wealth was measured by the number of his livestock he possessed, the number of the cattle, the sheep, the goats, and would tell accurately how wealthy Moses was. What do I have? The rod not only representing Moses' identity, but also his possession. Thirdly, the rod represents the influence power of Moses, what he could do when he's holding the authority rod, symbolized authority commanding wind and rain. When he's holding the shepherd's rod, still some influencing power on whom? On the sheep. He doesn't poke the sheep. Okay, go this way, go that way. Oh, okay, come back. Or when there is some wild animal coming to attack, he can use the rod to attack the animals. He can do something. 80 years of life, the rod deeply represents Moses' identity, who he is, his influencing power, what he does, his possession, what he has. Brothers and sisters, what are you holding in your hand today? How long have you been holding this? These things may be your career, your degree. You hold them tightly because they represent who you are. These things can be the bank account, your investment, your property, or even your children, your family. You're holding them tightly because they tell them what you have. This thing can also be your working position. You have the influence of power. You have the parent, and also your parental authority over your children. You are holding it tightly so that you can see what you can do. These are truly your rod. God asked Moses, "What is that in your hand?" Moses answered, "It's a rod. It's Moses' rod." Today, God is asking you the same question. What is that in your hand? What is that in your hand? Look at what you are holding tightly today. What will be your answer? What is that in your hand? God never asked question because asked question for himself. He had already known the answer. Every time when he asked the question, he wants you to know the answer. God knew what was Moses holding in his hand, but Moses did not know that. During Moses' 40 years as the prince, he's holding tight the prince's rod. And 40 years as the shepherd, he's holding tight the shepherd's rod. And he know that this is my rod. It was his very own rod that he must hold it tightly. This rod is highly important, very, very important to him, and maybe very, very important to you as well, because this is my rod. This represents my identity. This represents my possession. This represents my influential power. And this is why it was so important for Moses, maybe same as you, to hold the rod tightly, to not lose any of these. Otherwise, nothing will left. Nothing will left. How many of you have went through Chinese school? Okay, I'm going to test you. Mandarin or Cantonese? Oh, Cantonese. Okay, but I want to ask you Mandarin. Anyway, there's a Cantonese pop star in my age, yeah, in Hong Kong, has sing a song called Yat Mo So Yao. Oh, you know. The song actually is called, in Mandarin, is called Yi Wu So Yo. Anyone know this? I think Patrick, you know. And I think Sam, you know. Don't pretend you're young. And in this song, there's the singer is Wong Kit. And he's singing this song, Yi Wu So Yo, means nothing left. Nothing left. And in the chorus of this song, in our age, everybody knows the chorus because it's very, very powerful, shouting and singing out, 师父我真的一无所有. Test again. What's the meaning? It means that it's in the view that I have left with nothing. I have nothing left for me. In the whole song, actually, it's talking about holding tight means possessing. Losing your hand, letting go, means nothing left. Is it true that there will be nothing left if I let go? The earthly law teaches us holding tight means possessing. Losing hand, letting go, means nothing left. But when we are facing God, we are not using the earthly law but the spiritual law. We must realign our thinking and ask, if I let go and let God, is that real that I was left with nothing? 是否我真的一无所有? On the other hand, when we are holding tight, does it mean we truly possess? In fact, the spiritual law revealed to us, let go and let God does not mean left with nothing. In the life journey of Moses, he started learning this truth until he was 80 years old, entering the last one-third of his life. Moses learned to let go and not to hold tight his rod. He discovered Moses' rod can turn into God's rod, the Lord's rod. And he was not left with nothing, but left with everything. In today's passage, Exodus 2:2-4, is taught, we read again, "Then the Lord said to him, 'What is that in your hand?' 'A staff,' he replied. 'The Lord said, throw it on the ground.' Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, 'Reach out to your hand, reach out your hand and take it by your tail, but by the tail.' So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. God asked Moses, 'What is that in your hand?' Moses responded, 'Lord, it's a rod in my hand. You know, it's a shepherd rod. It's my rod.' The Lord said, 'Throw it on the ground.' When Moses dropped it on the ground, it was made alive and turned into a snake. Sometimes things sit still there for a long time while it was in our own hand. Such a rod. For Moses, this rod has been with him for 40 years. Under his complete control, it was his possession and his identity, and it can be let go, need to hold it tight. But an unexpected miracle happened when Moses let go his rod. A shepherd's rod giggles and turned alive into a living with living breath. And after that, God wants to demonstrate his spiritual law to Moses. Holding tight means nothing left. God shows Moses, when you pick it up again, it will turn into a piece of dried up twig. A living thing turned dead again when you hold it back tightly. Brothers and sisters, what are you holding? Is it a piece of dried up rod that you can let go? A piece of rod which have never been touched by the Lord? Or you have already let go and let God use to use it so that it can turn into an instrument for miracles? The Lord said, every time when you let go the rod to me, it will come alive. And every time when you hold it tight, it will be dead. This experience became the turning point of Moses' life. From that point on, the rod was no longer called the Moses' rod, but called the Lord's rod. In this passage, talk about Moses bringing his family back to Egypt to respond to God's calling. And in this passage, talk about that he has his rod, he has the rod, the staff in his hand. But in this passage said, so Moses took his wife and son, put them on a donkey and started back to Egypt. And he took the staff of Moses in his hand? No. Bible said, he took the staff of God in his hand. Moses' rod, turn to God's rod. When your hand no longer holding my rod and let go, it will turn into the lost rod. One miracle after another will continue to happen. And God promised. But take this staff, the lost rod, in your hand so that you can perform miraculous signs with it. Brothers and sisters, do your life have miracles? Have you ever received God's miraculous power in your daily life? Can other people from your life see miracle from the Lord? Or your life will like the years of Moses between his age 40 to 80, 40 years holding the Moses rod, his own rod, and not letting go of those things such as your career, your degree, your bank account, your investment, your property, your children, your family, your occupation, position, your authority over your children, and even your ministry and your position in the church, refusing to giving back to the authority of God. And on a daily basis, you are holding on your own rod in ruthless wandering and restless living. Brothers and sisters, it is time to let go. It is time to let go and let God to hold the rod to make it to the lost rod and experience his miracles. My name is Anthony, and in my life, I have an Anthony's rod. I hold it tight. I hold it tight for a very long time, since I was very young. I born in a Christian family. I raised up in a middle-class family. Go to church since I was a baby. And I eventually attend a school with very high prestige and also high ranking in Hong Kong. So some of the older generation, maybe you know King's College in Hong Kong, right? Ying Wong Shu Yun. Yep, I am from King's College. We have the Tak Sau, right? We are one of the chief executive from Hong Kong. He was from my school. But of course, after he became the chief executive, we don't want to mention anymore. We just call him Lok Pak Gao 669. But during my time in King's College, a very, very high prestigious school in Hong Kong, that represents my identity. Whenever I'm wearing my uniform, walking on the street with my fellow schoolmates, and there are the other school students wearing their school uniform, we look down on them because we are the royal, we are the high prestigious student. We have the highest rate going into the university. And who are you guys? That's me. That's the one pastor now preaching to you. And too bad, in the Hong Kong, like the provincial exam in Hong Kong, I failed. Yep. And I remember when I received the result, I was sitting in the pier in the Wan Chai. Yeah, next to, it's very, like a very romantic with my first girlfriend beside me, and I saying something very, very arrogant. You know what I say? In 1 year times, I will take back what belongs to me. That's my possession. I will return to my identity, the prestigious student of a prestigious college. That's me. That's me, my identity, what is holding tight in my hand. I say, I need it, I cannot let go. And I mentioned about the girlfriend, sadly, after half years, we break up. Yep, and it's very sad, it's my puppy love. It's my first love, yeah. But, you know, first love is always very, very, very sad when you break up, yeah. And during that time, I hold it very tight. I come to God and say, why you take this girl, take this sister from me? I think she's my wife in the future. By that time, actually, I'm just 17 years old, yeah. And you cannot take it, she's the best, she's the perfect for me. You need to give it back to me. I'm fighting with God for that girl, yeah. And God is very patient. And first time, he told me, open your hand, let go, let go. I said, no, I cannot let go. And he told me that, if you're not opening your hand, how can I give you the best who is your wife in the future? I can do a testimony to you. My wife is not here. I welcome you to, when you see her, you tell her that she's the best. I open my hand, God give me this wife. We have been married for this year, 28 years. And we celebrate 31 years together, including our dating. And she's still my soulmate, my best friend, my best companion on my ministry, and also my comforter a lot of the time. So I let go. And also when we get married, we know that God called us into ministry and we want to study and to prepare for ministry. So we need to search for a seminary. So when I'm searching all the seminary, I search for the Hong Kong ones and also the cruises, okay. Singapore, Taiwan is also okay. But God led me to Regent College in Canada. I have never studied in Canada, and my first degree is industrial design. So, study in English, writing paper, that's cannot be happen. I struggle with God. I hold tight. I say, no, my family is Hong Kong. I need to stay here. No, my church is in Hong Kong. I need to stay here. My security is Hong Kong. And my language, I can use it. And God told me, open your hand. Let go. What you are holding tight, now you still not, you cannot learn this. How can you serve me with an open hand in the future as a pastor, as my servant? And I opened my hand, and God led me to Regent and keep me staying here for 25 years. So I'm still here. Whenever I open my, I hold tight, I actually is not possessing anything. But I open my hand and let God and let go, giving the rod on my hand to Him. He turned the dead rod into one miracle after another miracle in my life. I have served the Lord for over 25 years. I can tell you, I'm still learning this lesson, let God and let go. And every time, it's not easy, but every time I can promise to you that miracle will happen. When Moses' rod turned into the lost rod, we witnessed Moses use the rod to perform miracles and reveal God's almighty power. The Bible records the three classical miracles in Exodus 14 to 17. The three miracles are all related to the Moses rod. The first miracle is walking on the dry land of the Red Sea. We all know this when the people from Egypt, the Israelite, leaving Egypt and going to the promised land, they passed through the Red Sea. And in the process, God told Moses, raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on the dry ground. We all know that. That happened. And this is one of the classical miracles. And another one is from the deserts of Sin to Rephidim. Here talks about another miracle in Exodus 17, striking the rock for water. The Lord said, answered Moses, walk on the ahead of people, take with you some of the elders and Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go, I will stand there before you by the rock of Horeb. Strike the rock, and the water will come out of it for the people to drink. And we know that this miracle happened again. And the third classical miracle is from Rephidim to the mountaintop. We remember that during the time that the Israelites are going to fight with the Amalek, Moses was on the mountaintop, and Moses said to Joshua, choose some of the men and go out to fight for Amalekites. Tomorrow I stand up on the top of hill and with the staff of God in my hand. And we know the story. Whenever Moses hold the rod, Israelite win. Whenever he lower his hand, the Amalekites were winning. It seems so straightforward that God has promised Moses to hold the Lord's rod, and then miracles can be performed. But we need to know that right before Moses performing these three miracles, which is recorded in Exodus 14 to 17, and after God told Moses that the rod is holding will be useful for performing miracle in Exodus 4. So Exodus 4, God changed the Moses' rod to the lost rod. And in Exodus 14, it talks about these three marvelous miracles. But between this, actually, the Bible, we call the 10th pledge. 10 miracles that further illustrate the relationship between the lost rod, the person holding the rod, and the Almighty God's miracle power. This happened in Egypt. The lost rod, to be sufficient to performing miracles, is not just giving up the right of possession. That is, I'm holding tight, not just the right of possession, let go of the personal identity, wealth, and influence through the Moses rod, and continue on before the three classical miracles through the 10 plagues in Egypt. God continued to teach Moses something. He needed to give up also the right of execution. When he was ready to hold the lost rod, that is transformed from the Moses rod, but still he needed to give up the right of execution. Truly God said to Moses, take this staff in your hand so you can perform miraculous sign with it. And when he surrendered his right of possession, he was endowed with God's authority and power. But God further warned Moses to know it's not enough. Only giving up the right of possession of the rod is not enough. He needs to learn, also surrender the right of execution of the rod to God, which is completely obedience to listen to his way, his time, and wait upon the Lord. It means to hold the lost rod in one's hand, but not to override the lost authority on the execution. This is something, as a pastor or as someone who served the Lord long enough, we need to always remind ourselves. We may have given up our wealth, our identity, we surrender to God to use me. And God do miraculously to transform our life and to be his servant. But along the time, we know how to run the church, we know how to run the ministry, we know how to do ministry, even we know how to control the ministry. We may holding the right, the authority on the execution and not letting go. From the 10 plagues in Egypt, we can understand how God taught Moses the lesson of surrender the right of execution back to him. I will not go through all the 10 plagues. Yeah, but you can see that from here, it mentioned clearly about the rod and who used the rod. So the first one, even the first one, the 10 plus one, the first one, the rod turned into snake. Yes, there's the rod and the performance, the miracle performed is executed by Moses, but whose rod is that? The rod is Aaron's rod. It's not Moses' rod. And from the first three miracles, God said to Moses, you said to Aaron, Aaron performed the miracle, and you said to Aaron to use Aaron's rod. It's not Moses' rod. First three miracles, Moses just stand there, holding his rod, turning has been turned to God's rod, but not going to execute anything. Okay, comes to the fourth and fifth prayer, God performed the miracle, but not using the rod, nor using people's rod, but just by himself to accomplish his will. Comes to the sixth prayer, Moses began to get involved, but still not using the rod, but tossed the ashes into the air by his bare hand. The rod still sitting there, not being used to execute anything. Comes to seventh to ninth prayer, when Moses learned more on let go the right of execution, even having the rod's hand, holding in his hand, but wait. Then he began to use the lost rod to perform miracles. 7, 8, 9. In 10 plus 1 of all the miracles, only 3. 11 out of 3 out of 11, he execute the rod. And comes to the last one, we know that God performed the miracle by himself. So, according calculating the percentage, it's just about 25% that Moses are using the rod to execute what God, the miracle that God wants him to perform. But when a person can let go, surrender his right of possession and his authority of execution to the miraculous God, he will be able to experience the miracle such as the Red Sea for the Israelite. In Exodus 14, there's a in Exodus 14, 31, after all this happened, God has the Bible has recorded a very, very precious verse. It said, Israel saw the great power that the Lord used against the Egyptians, so that people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and his servant Moses. When Moses surrendered, gave up the right of possession and the right of execution, here talks about, have a conclusion and summarize about what will happen. It's not just Moses, oh, he's so powerful. It's not just showing his power. But here talks about the Israelites seeing the great things performed by God. God do great things. They see God. And they learn to live a life of fear God. They fear God. And also submit and obey to God. Everything, the miracle, points to God and bringing the relationship of the people to God. Nothing about Moses. Nothing about Moses. To learn to let go of one's own rod and authority of to God is not easy. But when we are doing this, the rod will be touched by God and become the lost rod, and God will give it to your hand. Once you're holding the lost rod, it will be a more challenging lesson to learn to give up the full authority of execution to use God's lost rod. Particularly when you're holding the rod for a long time, just like me and a lot of servants of God, it will be hard to give up easily. That's why right before God called Moses and led him to use the lost rod to lead the people, he seriously taught Moses to let go of his own rod and give up the authority of using the lost rod. Succeeding by the rod and also failing by the rod. After 40 years of holding the lost rod, when Moses reached 120 years of his age, he led the Israelites for 40 years, is ready entering into the promised land from the wilderness. And a lot of miracles has been performed by this lost rod. Then he finally came to the border of the promised land, Canaan. And such a mighty leader for God, it was God who let him use the lost rod because of his letting go. He decided to hold the rod by his own will again. This combat holding cost him the big price and penalty of not being permitted to enter the promised land. In today's next another passage in Numbers, it talks about that after 40 years of wandering, finally the people arrive. Finally, the people arrived at the death of sin. It recorded in the first month of the whole Israel community arrived at the death of sin, and then immediately, the Bible says, and they stayed in Kadesh. There Miriam died and was buried. Miriam's death at Kadesh, and this place called Holy. It seems that here talks about an unholy incident happened in this holy ground, as mentioned in the scripture we read today. Who was the offender? Is that Miriam? No, of course not. It's not like our Chinese culture that, okay, Thai is unholy, is not clean, yeah, and we cannot touch. Of course, the Hebrews also think that they cannot touch the dead body, but it's not Miriam. The Bible continued to record it. The multitude do not have water to drink, and they gather to attack Moses and Aaron. An unholy incident occurred in this holy ground. It must be the multitude complain and attack the servant of God. They are the offender. But when we pay extra attention to here, to the book and the footnotes, we would discover regarding the unholy incident happened in the holy ground, the offender were not the multitude. In verse 13, the Bible said, there were the water of Meribah, where the Israelite quarreled with the Lord, and where he showed himself holy among them. Although the multitude quarreled among themselves in the holy ground, God manifests himself as holy in contrast through the incident. God even had not reprimanded the Israelite in the whole passage recorded in the incident. Then, who was the offender? Who committed unholy acts in the holy ground? In verse 12, he said, but the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelite, you will not bring this community into the land I give them. It's Moses and Aaron. Why such spiritual hero failed forward so badly? When dealing with the quarrel, we pay attention to the passage. What did God tell Moses to do? The Lord said to Moses, take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron gather at the assembly together, speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community so that they and their livestock can drink. And what was Moses' response? In verse 9 to 11, the Bible said, so Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock? Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock thrice with his staff. Water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. Has Moses obeyed God? Comparing to these two passages, if not reading very carefully, we will think that, okay, why God is so mean? Moses do what he asked him to do. But pay attention to this comparison. God's instruction and Moses' execution, what a difference. God asked him to, God asked him to pick up the rod to go, right? So, and Moses, in verse 9, the Bible says, he took the rod and go. And God asked him to gather the multitude. He gathered the multitude according to God's instruction. But there is something God hasn't asked him to do. What did Moses said? He talked to the people, you rebels. Listen, you rebels. He rebuked them, and God asked him to tell the rock to give water. But what did he do? He hold his rod, strike two times. Why two times? Because one time representing, I have done this before. And the second time telling that, I am going to do this one more. This is my rod. I can perform miracles. Moses, the Lord's rod, turned back to Moses' rod. After 40 years of holding the Lord's rod, Moses forgot the teaching of God that the prerequisite of using the rod is to give up the authority to use it, let go of the right of execution. Moses thought that he already has experience of using the rod. He had skill, he had knowledge, and he could make the final call. With this retaking, he totally ignored the word instruction sending of the Lord and decided to make his own way. Slowly and unnoticed, he returned to his own way and taking up the right of execution. Moses did not only retake his right of execution, but also regain his right of possession, completely transformed the Lord's rod back to Moses' rod. He returned to this day by using the Moses' rod to represent his own identity, power, and influence. That's why he strikes two times. This is my rod. This, I am your leader. I have the power, and I'm the one giving you water. In verse 10, we see Moses held the Lord's rod and replaced God with his own angry word and reprimanded the multitude as rebels. In the Bible, only God has the qualification, right, and authority to reprimand someone as rebels. After 40 years of holding the Lord's rod, Moses thought he has the same right, authority, and influence to be elevated to get the bit of golden nuggets from God. From letting go, returning to holding tight, the Lord's rod had transformed back to Moses' rod without much gnosis. After the mention of the rod in this Bible passage in Numbers, there's no more mentioning in other places. And before the death of Moses, it was recorded in Numbers 27, 12 to 14, and Deuteronomy chapter 32, 48 to 52, that God reminded Israel about the predicament of Moses. He said, then the Lord said to Moses, go up to the mountain in the Abarim range and see the Lord, see the land I have given the Israelites. After you've seen it, you too will be gathered to your people as your brother Aaron was. For when the community rebelled at the water in the desert of Sin, both of you disobeyed my command to honor me as holy before their eyes. Again, God is serious about this. God mentioned, even before Moses' death, that you have disobeyed my command to honor me as holy before the eyes of the Israelites. Brothers and sisters, as a pastor and a servant of the Lord, I have been keep reminding myself to learn the lesson of let go and let God. Letting go my right of possession in my own rod, giving up my authority of execution, of using the Lord's rod. Whenever I do this, I see one miracle after another. Broken relationship got mended, painful hearts got healed, lost soul got saved, spiritual life revived, the kingdom of God's words of God expanded, the almighty power of God was manifested. I determined to obey the Lord's command to all honor him as holy before people's eye. And this is why I let go and let God. At this moment in time, God is asking you, what's that in your hand? You answer, a rod. But do you know what kind of rod you are holding? Your own rod or the Lord's rod? How are you going to use the rod in your hand? By your own will, or through the will and commission of God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we come before you. We know that there's things holding in our hand. We hold them tightly. We don't want to let go because that represents our identity, what we have, and what is our influence. But you, once again, you ask us, just open your hand, let go, and let God, and I'm going to perform miracle through you, through all of us. So dear God, help us to open our hands, and let us to obey you, and let you to use our life to be a blessing to other people, so that people can, so people know that you are God, people will fear you, and people will obey you. So dear God, help us, and in Jesus Christ's name we pray.